Lamentations chapter 1, verses 1 to 22. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are upon her cheeks. Among all her lovers there is none to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labour, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed feasts. All her gateways are desolate, her priests groan, her maidens grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters, her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendour has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. In weakness they have fled before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembers all the treasures that were hers in days of old, when her people fell into the enemy hands. There was no one to help her. Her enemies looked at her and laughed at her destruction. Jerusalem has sinned greatly, and so has become unclean. All who honoured her despise her, for they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns away. Her filthiness clings to her skirts. She did not consider her future. Her fall was astounding. There was none to comfort her. Look, O Lord, at my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed. The enemy has laid hands on all her treasures. She saw pagan nations enter her sanctuary, those you had forbidden to enter her assembly. All her people groan as they search for bread. They barter their treasures for food to keep themselves alive. Look, O Lord, and consider, for I am despised. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look around and see. Is any suffering like my suffering that was inflicted on me, that the Lord has brought on me in the day of his fierce anger? From on high he sent fire, sent it down into my bones. He spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He made me desolate, faint all the day long. My sins have been bound into a yoke. By his hands they were woven together. They have come upon my neck, and the Lord has sapped my strength. He has handed me over to those I cannot withstand. The Lord has rejected all the warriors in my midst. He has summoned an army against me to crush my young men. In his winepress, the Lord has trampled the virgin daughter of Judah. This is why I weep and my eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me, no one to restore my spirit. My children are destitute because the enemy has prevailed. Zion stretches out her hands, but there's no one to comfort her. The Lord has decreed for Jacob that his neighbour becomes his foes. Jerusalem has become an unclean thing among them. The Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his command. Listen, all you peoples, look upon my suffering. My young men and maidens have gone into exile. I called to my allies, but they betrayed me. My priests and my elders perished in the city whilst they searched for food to keep themselves alive. See, O Lord, how distressed I am. How I am in torment within, and in my heart I am disturbed, for I have been most rebellious. Outside, the sword bereaves. Inside, there is only death. People have heard my groaning, but there is no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my distress. They rejoiced at what you have done. May you bring the day you have announced, so they may become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you. Deal with them as you have dealt with me because of all my sins. My groans are many, and my heart is faint.
Ben Lewarne, a good man, a science teacher. At one stage, he was the high school chaplain of Northmead High. He could cook bread and curry and Italian and experimental and thoughtful food. He loved coffee and music. He was popular. He was funny, a sporting man. He also had his problems. He had a blood disorder and he had epilepsy. He came from a good and loving family. He had a beautiful wife and an infant son. And he lived with me for a few years before either of us were married. He was a generous man. And he was the master of ceremonies at my and Laura's wedding. Ben died a few years ago, still a young man. He had a really big funeral. They celebrated his life. They praised his work and his faith and his personality. There was real sorrow at the loss of life, the loss of potential, the loss of a great husband and father. But there was still joy in knowing that he was going to heaven. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes things happen that make us really sad. And sometimes it feels that it's not fair. Lamentations. The A to Z of sorrow. Now, Lamentations is a book not often addressed in church, and most Christians would not be very familiar with it. It's a difficult book, and it deals with a difficult subject, the A to Z of sorrow. So we have the 25th of April, Anzac Day, and that's a time when we remember our veterans, those who have fought in war on our behalf. We honour them and we remember those who have fallen. We remember the stories. We remember the experiences. It's a time of catharsis, mourning the loss of so many lives, and yet celebrating the bravery and accomplishments achieved in war. It's a time of national pride with sadness, celebration with mourning, pride mixed with grief, accomplishment and loss. Now, the Jews have a similar day. Their month is called Av, and the ninth day they take not to celebrate but to mourn. The Jews remember the atrocities committed against them, the Holocaust in World War II in Europe, the persecution and expulsion of the Jews from England and France and Spain in the Middle Ages. And also the destruction of the temple in 70 AD by the Romans. And they also remember the destruction and the exile of the whole Jewish nation in 586 BC. And they remember it with fasting and with prayers and reading Lamentations. So Lamentations is a peculiar book. Many people attribute it to Jeremiah. And he's got a reputation as being a prophet of sorrow and tears. But Lamentations is actually anonymous. It doesn't say it's written by Jeremiah. And Lamentations is a collection of five poems. Now, the first three poems are acrostics. So each verse begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If you notice the number of verses, there's 22 verses in what is it? Four of the five poems. And that corresponds to the alphabet. So verse one starts with A. If we had it in English, it would be like A is for anger that was brought to Jerusalem. B is for battle that was waged against us. C is for captivity when the siege walls surrounded us. D is for the destruction. Out of the five poems, four are 22 verses long, so that's the length of the Hebrew alphabet. Now the third poem is 66 verses long. So it follows the same alphabet pattern, but in triplicate. So the first poem is A, B, C, D, all the way down to their equivalent of Z. The second poem is A, B, C, D, all the way down. The third poem is A, 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 B, 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 C, C, C. So it builds up its intensity. Lamentations. It's literally the A to Z of sorrow. Now, the context of Lamentations is the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. Let me read to you the dispassionate account in 1 Kings 24, verses 19 to 25, verse 12. 1 Kings 24, 19 to 25, verse 12. Oh, you know what? It's not here. Perhaps it's in 2 Kings 24. My mistake. Okay, so this guy, Zedekiah, did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as Jehoiakim had done. It was because of the Lord's anger that all of this happened to Jerusalem and Judah. And in the end, he thrust them from his presence. Now, Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So in the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army. He encamped outside the city and built siege works around it. The city was kept under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the ninth day of the 4th month, the famine in the city had become so severe that there was no food for the people to eat. Then the city wall was broken through, and the whole army fled at night through the gate between two walls near the king's garden, though the Babylonians were surrounding the city. They fled toward the Arabah, but the Babylonian army pursued the king and overtook him on the plains of Jericho. All his soldiers were separated from him and scattered, and he was captured. He was taken to the king of Babylon at Riblah, where sentence was pronounced on him. They killed all the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Then they put out his eyes, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. On the 11th day of the 5th month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, an official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every important building he burned down. The whole Babylonian army, under the commander of the imperial guard, broke down the walls around Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, carried into exile the people who remained in the city, along with the rest of the populace, and those who had gone over to the king of Babylon. But the commander left behind some of the poorest people in the land to work the vineyards and the fields. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon placed a siege over the city for 30 months, starving out the city. They broke the city, destroying, raping, killing, emptying out the wealth. The temple was looted and pillaged and set on fire. Many of those who survived were sent into exile. So that's like the Wikipedia version, laying out the bare facts of what happened. Lamentations gives us the facts from a more personal perspective. These people were actually there. These people lived through it. Now, chapter 1 of Lamentations has two parts. The first part is like a journalist, a war correspondent, recording what happened. How the city of Jerusalem was a pitiful sight, destroyed, deserted, disgraced. He compares the city to a woman who has lost everything and sits in mourning. If you look in verse 1, she who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Verse 2, bitterly she weeps at night, yet there is no one to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her, become her enemies. Verse 3, she finds no resting place. Verse 6, all the splendor is departed. Verse 7, her enemies have looked at her and laughed at her destruction. So that's the first part of Lamentations 1. The second part focuses on the city. Jerusalem, the woman, is given a voice here. She is allowed to say what she feels. So in verse 9, look, Lord, on my affliction, because my enemy has triumphed. She expresses her pain, her frustration, her disappointment with herself. If you look in verse 20, she says, see, Lord, how distressed I am. I'm in torment within, and my heart is disturbed, for I've been most rebellious. In this situation, lament is the right and proper response. Jerusalem recognizes how far she has fallen. She knows that she has been unfaithful to God. She mourns for her losses, her bitterness, her pain, and her shame. Now, lament is an exercise that our society is not very good at. We as a culture tend to hide grief. There are many reasons for us to lament. There are many reasons for us to grieve. There are many reasons for us to mourn. David just told us that there are two deaths in the police family in this past week. There has also been, in the news, there has been sexual and physical abuse by a teacher. There was also a woman charged with poisoning a little girl outside of a hospital. The sister of a double murderer was accused of stabbing her boyfriend. Not to mention other forms of corruption, shootings and drug incidents that have been reported not in the last week but in previous months. There are many reasons for our society, for our city of Sydney, to be grieving and mourning and lamenting. A lament is a spiritual exercise that we have forgotten as a modern church. And we're not good at recognising our wrong, our sinfulness and our own depravity. We're not good at confronting our shame and bringing it to God. We're not good at acknowledging our helplessness in overwhelming situations. Sometimes life turns on you. And lament is a right and proper response. Now, I myself tend to be on a stoic side. I tend not to show very much emotion, to try to be in control of myself, to be in control of my heart and my emotions. But I should be bringing it to God. I ought to express my fears and my worries to God. I tend not to reflect on my life, on things that ought to concern me. I tend to focus just on what is next or what needs to be done or what I need to prepare. It is much easier to hide away from or to ignore the things in life that are difficult. Things in life that are difficult but real. I remember a few years ago there was a TV program called NCIS, where Gibbs, one of the lead characters, has just recovered from a coma. And his mentor tells him about September 11th, 2001, when America was attacked and thousands of people were killed. Now, he was in a coma during that time. And when he heard that news, his first reaction was to vomit. Now, I thought, that's a really interesting reaction to hearing that kind of news. It's not something that it wouldn't have been my initial reaction. But should we feel that way towards our compatriots? Should we feel that connected to our people, to our city, or to other Christians? Should we have a physical reaction to their plight? Ought we know more about what's happening in our world? Well, what about others who suffer in our faith, our brothers and sisters in Vietnam or North Korea or India or Cuba or Colombia, where Christians are still being killed for their faith, where it is still really hard to be a believer? Christians are still being tortured and abused and martyred for their faith. Now, just over Easter Katoomba Convention, me and my family went along, and we heard about this pastor in Colombia who was murdered by rebels for opening his church every week. And they murdered him in a really horrific way, and we don't hear about it. So what should we do about it? At the very least, we should pray and lament. Lament is a gift of God for healing. There is a time and a place for it, and God wants it to burst forth. And Jesus himself lamented. He wants to see our sorrow. He wants to hear our pain and our anguish. And lament is a proper response. It's God's gift to us. Later this morning, I will give you an opportunity, a couple of minutes, to lament, to reflect, to think about sad things, and to begin to deal with them, perhaps. To focus and allow yourself a moment of sadness. Perhaps it could lead you to speak to somebody, or to pray with somebody, or to write a note, or to pray a note. Let's move on to chapter 2. Chapter 2 moves from the state of distress to the cause of lament. The reason behind the situation Jerusalem finds itself in is because the Lord has done it. The Lord has covered her with the cloud of his anger in chapter 2, verse 1. He has hurled down her splendour. God himself is behind the destruction. God in his anger has brought her poverty and dishonour. In verse 5, he is like the enemy. Verse 7, he has rejected his altar and abandoned his sanctuary. He has handed over the enemy the walls of her palaces. It is no longer a place for the people to meet her God. In verse 11, the journalist himself, the war correspondent, is brought to tears. He cannot stand by as an impartial observer. He's like a journalist who reaches out to feed the starving refugee in an overcrowded camp. He himself is moved to compassion. And in verse 17, God has done what he planned. He fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. They were unfaithful, and he handed them over for judgment. And this is the fruit of their disloyalty. Let me read to you Lamentations chapter 2. It won't take very long. It's 22 verses long. Lamentations 2. How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with the cloud of his anger. He has hurled down the splendour of Israel from heaven to earth. He has not remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. Without pity, the Lord has swallowed up all the dwellings of Jacob. In his wrath, he has torn down the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought down her kingdom and its princes down to the ground in dishonour. In fierce anger, he has cut off every horn of Israel. He's withdrawn his right hand at the approach of the enemy. He has burned in Jacob like a burning fire that consumes everything around it. Like an enemy, he has strung his bow. His right hand is ready. Like a foe, he has slain all who are pleasing to the eye. He has poured out his wrath like a fire on the tent of the daughter of Zion. The Lord is like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces and destroyed her strongholds. He has multiplied mourning and lamentation for the daughter of Judah. He has laid waste his dwelling like a garden. He has destroyed his place of meeting. The Lord has made Zion forget her appointed feasts and her Sabbath. In his fierce anger, he has spurned both king and priest. The Lord has rejected his altar and abandoned his sanctuary. He has handed over to the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have raised a shout in the house of the Lord, on the day of the Lord of an appointed feast. The Lord determined to tear down the wall around the daughter of Zion. He stretched out a measuring line and did not withhold his hand from destroying. He made ramparts and walls lament. Together they wasted away. Her gates have sunk into the ground, their bars he has broken and destroyed. Her king and her princes are exiled among the nations. The law is no more, and her prophets no longer find visions from the Lord. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit on the ground in silence. They have sprinkled dust on their heads, put on sackcloth. The young women of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground. My eyes fail from weeping. I'm in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed, because the children and infants faint in the streets of the city. They will say to their mothers, "Where is the bread and wine?" They faint like wounded men in the streets of the city as their lives ebb away in their mothers' arms. What can I say for you? With what can I compare you, O daughter of Jerusalem? To what can I liken you? Then I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion. Your wound is as deep as the sea. Who can heal you? The visions of your prophets were false and worthless. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity. The oracles they gave you were false and misleading. All who pass your way clap their hands at you. They scoff and they shake their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All your enemies open their mouths wide against you. They scoff and gnash their teeth and say, "We have swallowed her up. This is a day we have waited for. You have lived to see it." The Lord has done what he planned. He has fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. He has overthrown you without pity. He has let the enemy gloat over you. He has exalted the horn of your foes. The hearts of the people cry out to the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion. Let your tears flow like a river, day and night. Give yourself no relief, your eyes no rest. Arise, cry out to the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children, who faint from hunger at the head of every street. Look, O Lord, and consider, whom have you ever treated like this? Should women eat their offspring, the children they have cared for? Should priest and prophet be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? Young and old lie lifeless together in the dust of the streets. My young men and maidens have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered them without pity. As you summoned to a feast day, so you summoned against me terrors on every side. In the day of the Lord's anger, no one escaped or survived. Those I cared for and reared, my enemy has destroyed. It is ugly. It is sad. It is horrifying. Now, God has promised the Israelites that if they followed his words, his statutes and his commands, things would go well in the land that was promised to them. They would prosper, yet if they disobeyed, they would be destroyed and cursed. They did not listen or obey. For many generations, they followed foreign gods and worshipped idols. They were unfaithful to the Lord. Deuteronomy 28 tells you the promises of God. If you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees, it goes on to say, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms of earth. Your carcasses will be food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. There will be no one to frighten them away. Jeremiah 21 says a similar sort of thing. You are going to be destroyed because you have been unfaithful. Lamentations chapter 2 recognises that they are getting what they deserve. They have been warned, and here are the consequences. Now, have we warnings against disobedience that we also should heed? We've just completed a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says many difficult things here. Do we take Jesus' word seriously? Do we heed his warnings? Like in Matthew chapter 6:14, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Or in 19, do not store up treasures on earth, or in 25. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Now, I'm guilty of breaking all of those things. I ought to be heeding those warnings. And what about in Hebrews 4:13? Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Oftentimes I find my heart hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I want the things that the TV says are good for me. I want the kind of... I have the same sorts of values that I see on TV, and I shouldn't have. I should heed these warnings. A few years ago, I had a work colleague who was off sick for a few days, and when he came back, I asked him how he was going. And he shared a lot more with me than what I was expecting. He said something about unprotected sex, and he was bearing the consequences for it. What I remember most is what he quoted for me. He said, you know, the wages of sin. So he was off sick because of what he's seen in the past. His attitude was that he did something wrong and is suffering the consequences now. Now, at that moment, I should have finished his quote and brought Jesus into the conversation, because he was quoting from the Bible. He was quoting from Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I could have said to him, yes, these are the consequences of sin, but the gift of God is eternal life, and he's offering it to you. Every time I remember that situation and that lost opportunity to share the gospel, I regret it. Lamentations 2 recognises the wages of Judah's sins, and they are suffering the consequences. We should listen to Jesus' warnings and not be like the man who looks in the mirror and then goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Listen and change before it's too late. So for any of you who are taking notes, if any of you are like me, not taking very good notes, and here is the opportunity to write the application, and then you can show your wife later on. Application, number one, it is right and proper to lament. There is a time and a place for it, and God wants to hear it. Number two, we ought to lament to God the suffering and difficulties of ourselves and our brethren in pain. Number three, heed the warnings that we've been given and encourage one another to faithfulness and hope. Before I pray, let me invite you to have a time of reflection and to lament yourself, to remember the wrongs that have been done, to remember the loss and the suffering that you've endured, or that our Christian brothers and sisters have endured, to say sorry to the Lord for the sins that we've committed or the things that we've neglected to do. And then I will close in prayer. So I'll give you a full minute.